Hey everybody, happy scary movie month. Welcome to F This Movie. My name is Patrick Brownlee, and I'm joined tonight to discuss The Others by the Ghost of Doug.
Woo!
Ghost of Doug sounds a lot like regular Doug.
Ooh, hello, welcome, thank you, Patrick. I swear,
that's your regular voice.
What are you talking about? I'm a ghost.
Talk in your ghost voice.
No, this is my ghost voice.
We worked this out ahead of time. It's Scary Movie Month, and you're listening to F This Movie, which you can find at fthismovie.net.
Ooh.
Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/fthismovie. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/fthismovie. Email us at fthismoviepodcast@gmail.com. What am I missing?
I think you thought of all of them.
We are about halfway through Scary Movie Month, which is bittersweet,
yeah.
I feel.
Yeah, for sure.
Which means we're halfway through the Scary Movie Challenge. It's been going awesome so far. You know, we set a goal of 400, sort of arbitrarily, because the first year it was 100, we beat it by about 25. Then last year it was like, 150. I didn't want to get too big for my britches. And we had like 425, so I thought, okay, again, conservatively, let's say 400. We're about halfway through the month. We have, I think, over 500 right now, right?
Yeah. The last I looked, it was upper 400s, but I haven't looked in at least 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So, not since I looked in September. Are we talking about the same thing?
I want to say, like, yeah, let's get over 1,000 because we still have, I don't know, 14 more days, but that'll be tough.
I'm still also, and maybe this is the wrong place to mention this, but I'm also still concerned that some of the very early posts in the challenge were not totally genuine, meaning people watched stuff in September and then posted as of midnight October 1st, they posted three movies that they had seen. And that's not the goal of the challenge. The goal of the challenge, obviously, is to watch something in October.
Right.
And that's why it's a challenge. I mean, yeah, we could all see scary movies and talk about everything we've ever seen. Pinocchio's Revenge, for example. But we're not going to do that. It's stuff you have to see this month. And I don't know. I think the number probably, it's around 500, and I think that's a pretty accurate number, because I know you've actually gone through and
I got rid of some that like either weren't scary movies or were comments on other people's things. Again, that was just to keep
losers
a good count. I totally agree that like this year we'll probably have an asterisk next to it.
Right.
And it only really would have bothered me if like we just made it over 400.
Right.
So where I was like, well, we made it, but not really. Since we're so far ahead of it, it doesn't upset me as much.
I've dropped the ball. I've only posted one. I've seen a bunch. I just haven't had a chance to.
Yeah.
Well, let's say I've had chances. I just haven't been like impressed with myself enough to like, what should my seven words be?
I give people so much credit. I do not spend a lot of time thinking about it. My feeling is like the first seven words that come to mind are what I should post. And if I spend too much time thinking about it, I've already ruined it. Man, some people come up with like poetry.
It's really great, actually. I mean, so much of it, and we'll read some in a little bit, but so much of it is really clever and funny, and you laugh, and it's such a kind of digestible, disposable thing. I hate to say disposable, but it is. Like, you read it and you move on, but it's great because it gave me that second of joy.
Especially when like the same movie can have 15 different seven word reviews that all like sort of come at a movie from a different angle or make a different joke about it. If you don't know what we're talking about, I don't know where you've been or why you just started listening to a podcast about The Others. But, you know, whatever. The Scary Movie Challenge, if you go to fthismovie.net, there's a tab now at the top of the page. Hopefully everybody's seen it. You can click on that. It takes you right to the challenge. You have to, you know, click load more about 10 times now because we have so many posts. I was going to swear, and then I was like, no, I won't swear.
Because this is a family-friendly PG-13 podcast.
Absolutely.
Just like The Others.
No gore in this podcast.
No fucking gore.
And leave a seven-word review for a horror movie that you watch in October. We pretty much already covered it. But we'll read a couple now, because that's how we do. I'll read this one from my main man, Hollywood Heath Holland.
Nice.
Bride of Frankenstein, confession, the bride makes my pants tighter.
Ooh.
Now, I don't know if that means is he gaining weight? What's going on with Hollywood Heath?
I think that she's tugging on the back of his britches.
Oh, that makes more sense. Yeah. Like a bit of a Grundy?
Like a Murph. Which is, by the way, a Murph is an expression I never heard before meeting my wife. Have you ever heard the expression Murph?
Is that a weird West Coast thing?
It might be. She's from Los Angeles, and she says Murph. And all the time, by the way. She's always talking about her Murph.
Well, usually when she gives you a Murph, right?
Absolutely. But I've heard, we say Grundy here in Illinois, which she never heard of, by the way, either. So,
but it rhymes with Undy. What does Murph rhyme with?
I don't know.
Murph, please.
Smurf.
Speaking of
this,
Murph.
This was a hypothetical question, right?
Like, yeah,
what
yeah.
is it? Okay.
Speaking of Murph.
Okay, John Murphy. What?
That's where it got its name.
From John Murphy?
He's the first guy who ever did that to someone. They're like, what do we call it? Oh, the Murph.
Because of Murphy.
Yeah. You know Murph.
Classic JM. Different JM. John Murphy writes Texas Chainsaw Massacre from 1974, which is not the right... Is that the right year? Yeah, it is. Severed human flesh. It's what's for dinner.
Yummy. Michael Giammarino, I might be mispronouncing
it. Giammarino.
Oh, thank you very much.
Michael Gorlami. Buongiorno. Sorry.
John Carpenter's The Ward. Okay, stop kidding. Who really directed this?
Gray Weirdo, one of our oldest followers, writes, Creepshow, nobody tosses out of my comic book, Dad.
Not out of my comic book.
Nobody, I can't read it from this angle. I'm in a very peculiar... But you do you like the confidence with which I read it? Even though I knew halfway through, I'm like, this makes no sense. I messed this up somehow, but I read it with such conviction. Nobody tosses out my comic book. Wait, just cut the previous stuff.
Okay.
Gray Weirdo writes, Creepshow, nobody tosses out of my comic book. Nobody tosses out my comic book, Dad.
Corbin Foster says of Hellraiser 4 Bloodline, in space, Pinhead hears Adam Scott scream.
Nice.
That's a horrible movie, too. I've actually seen that one. Half of it takes place in outer space, and half of it takes place, like, in the past with Adam Scott playing, like, a Victorian douchebag.
Really? The same Adam Scott I'm thinking of?
Yeah, this was before he got famous,
obviously. Which was, like, I think 3 months ago.
This was before he landed the gig on Boy Meets World.
Right. Steve G. writes, Cabin in the Woods, expected standard slasher, instead it... Spoiler redacted in,
nice.
In asterisk language,
yes.
In HTML code.
Josie D, who I think is new to the Scary Movie Challenge,
she
Eraserhead,
Foxy too,
right? I mean, she has friends who are pussycats. Eraserhead, I don't think I want children anymore.
Join the club, Josie D.
But she'll rethink that when she meets my man Doug.
Oh, Josie D, what's up? You want my baby? Want my seed? Carl PG writes Poltergeist, which we also talked about. We have a podcast on Poltergeist,
yes.
So you should all listen to it if you haven't yet. Carl PG writes Poltergeist. So anything good on TV tonight then?
Nice.
Kind of fitting a lot of words in there to make the seven,
well,
but I appreciate
you
that.
Know, listen.
Unless he's British. So anything good on TV tonight then?
Because they say then at the end of
right.
everything.
Crikey. Anything good on TV tonight then?
Kathy says of Reanimator. How to get ahead in scientific research.
I don't get that.
Oh, you should see Reanimator.
I will.
There's a head.
Thanks, Kathy.
That gives a girl head.
Saul. Why do you give me this one? Saul. Sal. Soul. Soul.
Saul.
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 It's not S-A-U-L.
It's our friend Saul.
But it's not S-A-U-L.
What do you want? He's Canadian.
Saul, eh? Saul Ott. The Mist from 2007. Maybe next time you'll wait 5 minutes. But that's 3 exclamation points. I read that wrong. That was a bad read.
Yeah,
all
right, try it again.
Maybe next time you'll wait 5 minutes.
Much more
like
true
Sean
to
Wallace
the
just there.
There's intent. Michael Henley says of the innkeepers, terrible service. This place is dead anyway. Boom.
Boom. I have not seen that. I can't wait to. I'm going to watch that later this month with
yes.
my man Patrick.
That's me.
Where are we at?
Right here.
Gordon Brogan. Writes The Thing from 2011, last year's The Thing, the remake. Ramona Flowers versus the lame, pointless prequel.
Nice.
Love Ramona Flowers.
And, because she was in Sky High. Finally, Mac McIntyre
yes.
says,
Sky High's great.
Let's scare Jessica to death. Let's really slowly scare Jessica to death. I saw Let's Scare Jessica to Death at, I think, the first massacre that I went to, and the
Ooh.
Director was there in person, and it was all these great, that was the same one I think that Joe Dante was at, and there were all these great movies. They showed John Carpenter's The Thing, and Joe Dante had just finished speaking, and they showed Piranha, and I was on this high, like, The Massacre is the best thing ever! And then they bring out John Hancock to show Let's Scare Jessica to Death, which is introduced as, like, this is one of my favorite horror movies ever. Oh, man. It is a drag.
Who's John Hancock?
The guy who directed Let's Scare Jessica to Death.
Okay.
I didn't like it.
But he described his own movie
point.
As...
No. Okay. It was introduced by whoever was introduced.
I was hoping he described it. The director of it said, this is one of my favorite horror movies.
I just read one of the best screenplays I've ever read in my life.
Oh, yeah? Who wrote it?
I did. Steven Seagal impersonation. A Rob Schneider story.
Rob Schneider.
Before we talk about the others,
is this podcast already off the rails?
Oh, I think as soon as I pressed record, as soon as Ghost of Doug showed up.
Ghost of Doug.
Listen, we're going to spend so much time saying so many interesting things about the others.
I can't wait.
Before we do. Doug?
Yes.
Have you seen anything scary lately?
I have. I'm glad you asked.
You are glad?
Yeah, sure. Why not? I've seen two things lately.
All right.
I saw a movie called May, directed by John Hancock. No, not directed by John Hancock. Directed by Lucky McKee.
That is correct.
I call it Lucky McKee's May.
Nice.
I
call it John Hancock's Let's Scare Jessica to Death.
It's funny, I DVR'd this movie off of Dish Network. That's right, I don't have IFC, I don't have AMC, so I have to DVR.
You can't watch The Walking Dead?
I cannot watch
so
that.
Good. They killed so many zombies.
I looked at the date, because I recorded this a long, long time ago.
Like,
and I looked,
for last Scary Movie Month.
And right? I looked at the date, and the date I recorded it was October 31st of 2011.
Nice.
And I think it was like midnight, I didn't get a chance to watch it, and I'm like, well, I can't watch it now, it's November 1st. And I watched it a couple weeks ago, and it's great. You should all see May. It's not a traditional horror movie at all.
No.
But it's really interesting, and I mean, the guy directs some interesting movies. And
definitely.
You saw May. You actually recommended it to me, too.
So. Yeah, I'm a big, big fan of May.
And you're also a big fan of The Woman, which I saw last year.
Yeah.
And that's great, and there's a great review of The Woman if you want to search our website. Patrick writes this review, Championing the Woman.
Yeah.
Where a lot of people, and it's famously derided, in fact, there's a YouTube clip of a guy at Sundance, I think, talking about how it's the worst thing ever, and it's misogynistic and horrible to women.
Yeah, the guy freaked out.
And, I mean, the guy is mentally disturbed, I think, for real. Yeah. Like, it's crazy, because it's like, even if you think that it's not pro-woman, where he goes is a different land. Anyway, yeah. The Woman's great. May is very different. It's about a woman who has a strange friend.
Wait,
that's like
so The Woman is about a woman, but May is also about a woman?
They're all about women.
Oh, man.
It's like McKee's wheelhouse. She has a doll, she has crazy parents, and she has an interesting life in which she tries to make friends and have relationships.
You're describing it like it's a comedy.
There's some funny
parts. She has this crazy life. Ow, I feel good.
It's kind of like the horror equivalent of What's Your Number?
Because Anna Faris is also in it.
That's right. That's right.
And Jeremy Sisto, Elton.
Elton is totally in May, which is so funny because you see this guy, and if you know Clueless, obviously the character Elton from Clueless. I don't know what else Jeremy Sisto has been in. I'm not really following his career.
You should.
So watching this movie, I'm like, where do I know this guy? And it's like when it hits you, like, oh my god, he's the weird
he's Elton
character from Clueless. It's kind of surprising.
And then he wants to play Suck and Blow with me?
Right, and he sings that song in the car. Oh, dear.
I love Clueless.
Yeah, Clueless.
Do you want to do a Clueless podcast?
Should we just talk about Vamp?
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah.
What's the other thing you saw?
I saw, well, I this is also... I DVR'd this, not knowing anything about it.
Okay.
So on HBO, they ran this movie, and I'm like, oh, this is a horror movie.
Okay. Is this buried again?
No. He's trapped in a crypt. I don't get what the big point is. He's obviously, he's buried in a tomb, in a coffin. You can classify this movie as horror, but it's a bad movie.
Okay.
Dreamhouse.
Oh.
With Daniel Craig and Rachel Weisz and Naomi Watts.
I DVR'd remember it being randomly. Out for like a week, and I did not see it.
And part of the reason I DVR'd it was like, oh, it's recent, it's got some good actors, I know nothing about it, I kind of like the ghosty stuff.
Yeah.
It's short, it's only like, I think it's less than an hour and a half.
Yeah.
It's such a piece of shit, and it's not even a horror movie, which is fine, because it's like there's some ghost elements, so you can kind of say it is. I know there's always like a kind of a gray line in terms of.
It sounds like a happy movie. Like this couple finds their dream house.
It starts off that way.
And is their dream house a paper house?
I've never seen Paper House, but I hear it's unsung. no one recommends this movie. In fact, I've read stories that Daniel Craig, all the actors were so. They saw the final cut and they're like, this isn't what we signed up for.
Yeah,
none of them did press for.
Tried to take his name off,
yeah,
I think.
The director directed some, I don't even know his name, but he directed some, like, you know, respected movies.
Yeah, it was Jim Sheridan, right?
Yeah. And he tried to get his name off. Morgan Creek said no. No actor did press for it. It was out for like a week.
But it's the movie that broke up Rachel Weisz and Darren Aronofsky, right?
Oh, I don't know that. What's that?
they were together for years. They have a child together, but then she left him for Daniel Craig, I think. And I think they met on that movie.
Are they still together, Daniel Craig? And
I don't know, but I think so.
Oh, wow.
I don't know.
And Daniel Craig.
You guys should listen to my gossip podcast.
Daniel Craig in this movie is crazy. Daniel Craig is crazy looking.
I remember seeing the trailer, and it seemed like it gave away all of the big twists in the trailer.
Well, I'm going to fucking spoil it right now.
Oh, all right. Spoilers for Dream House coming up, everybody.
Okay, so the plot is this. This couple moves into a house. And they find out that murders took place there.
Whoa, that's not a dream house. That's a murder house.
So they find, like, some teenagers are like, you know, everyone is like, oh, my God, 5 years ago, this murders happened here. So the guy, Daniel Craig, the father, does some digging.
Yeah.
And finds out
through papers?
Through everything.
So it's like,
dirt.
So it's like a paper house?
It's a paper house. He digs through papers. And he finds out that the husband or the father is still alive.
Yeah.
So he goes to an insane asylum where the husband is supposedly kept.
Yeah.
And they said, oh, he checked out.
What?
And
then further, you mean it's actually Daniel Craig?
And it's Daniel Craig, who is the guy. And everything in the first 45 minutes of the movie is kind of like his own imagination. Rachel Weisz,
love when movies
the two daughters, they're actually dead. They're ghosts.
Oh.
And he's living with them. But the reason I'm spoiling this is not just to be a dick, although I'm sure I'll say some dickish things. It's to say this. A, it's a bad movie.
Yeah.
B, the way the movie kind of shifts, it almost had this interesting horror, and there's a story there about, like, oh, you're actually
all this was given away in the trailer.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure.
I don't remember the trailer at all. So.
I really think it was.
I think that's
I feel
also,
like I knew all that.
I think that's also how Morgan Creek totally, like, fucked everyone over and
yeah,
just
right.
said, like, screw you guys, we're doing this our own way. There's an interesting kernel of a story there where the person who is crazy as the killer, and he has, you know, imagination in his mind.
Attention.
Is,
what? I'm sorry.
I've never seen Tension, so I don't know. But it so quickly goes off the rails, and there's such bad, there's no humor. And again, I do
it's
think,
not called Humor House.
I know. But the performances are all goofy. It's all weird. It's all just like brooding silences, and we'll get to brooding silences in a little bit, talking about the others. But it's such a crazy movie. Anyway, the end of the movie is that he finally comes to terms with that these are his imaginations, and
yeah.
that Naomi Watts, his neighbor, is trying to help him figure this all out.
Oh, that's nice of her.
Yeah, because they're, you know, she knows the truth. And then it turns out that the guy who came, he didn't kill his family. There was an actual murderer hired by Naomi Watts' ex-husband who hired the murderer to kill Naomi Watts, who's the neighbor,
right.
but he went to the wrong house.
Oh.
So the hitman...
So that's the twist on top of the... Like, Daniel Craig spends a lot of the movie thinking,
well,
oh my God, I killed my family, but then the second twist is, no, it wasn't you, it
right.
was extraneous,
It was the neighbor's
murderer.
Ex-husband who hired a hitman, went to the wrong house, killed everyone.
Yikes.
And so now they come back because Naomi Watts and Daniel Craig are in the house, the abandoned house for 5 years. So they come back, and they want to kill them again the truth is out. You know, we can't
we
let this
tie
go.
Up loose ends.
And so then the ex-husband gets disgusted with the hitman for killing children. So he shoots the hitman.
Naturally.
Takes everyone in the basement, starts it on fire through
it's a firehouse?
It turns into one. And through very kind of coincidences and stuff. And by the way, the ghost wife, Rachel Weisz, like, helps Daniel Craig wake up because he's knocked
You're
out.
You're describing
like,
one of the worst movies I've
ever
seen.
Oh, my God. Dude, you got to see. By the way, am I recommending Dream House?
I think so.
Firehouse? Paper House? So she somehow wakes him up with her ghostly charms.
Yeah.
He rescues Naomi Watts, escapes.
Yeah.
The guy, the hitman who was shot, is not dead.
No.
He comes downstairs and pours gasoline on the ex-husband. The ex-husband shoots him. He goes up in flames. So those two are taken care of.
Well, we got to kill the ex-husband
right.
because he tried to kill Naomi Watts.
And Daniel Craig takes Naomi Watts outside, but then goes back in the house to say goodbye to his wife and daughters who
yes.
are ghosts.
Right.
Before he leaves, he takes a manuscript out of stairs that he had hidden.
Right.
Which is his book. And the movie ends with him leaving the house
yeah.
as it's on fire.
Yeah.
Naomi Watts is saved. The two people are dead.
Okay.
His ghost wife is gone.
Yeah.
And the cuts to him walking in Manhattan.
Yeah.
Past a bookstore, cut to interior of the bookstore, like 50 books that say award-winning author Peter Ward, author of Dream House. And it's his book, Dream House, that he wrote about his... And then it ends.
Well, it all worked out. He became a very successful author.
True or false? You want to see this movie right now, right?
I almost don't need to because your description was very thorough.
But I wanted to like it all. Like,
yeah.
Every single beat is insane to me.
Yeah, that's horrible.
All right.
That's a horrible movie.
I'm sorry if I just talked for fucking 10 minutes on
Dream
House,
but
that's hilarious.
You saved
to me.
People 90 minutes, you know?
All right,
so,
sorry.
Wow. Everybody see Dream House.
Or not, or just listen to the last 5 minutes. So, Patrick, what have you seen lately?
Oh, gosh. I also DVR'd something off of HBO because they just started running the 2011 prequel / remake of The Thing.
Oh, really? I should check this out?
No. What are you talking about? I avoided seeing it when it was in theaters.
But Ramona Flowers.
Yeah, no, she's in it. Okay. She writes a book. It's called Dreamhouse. It's total garbage. I don't know. It's most remakes are, I know that. They tried to bill it as a prequel, which I was already opposed to, because again, like with Prometheus, the whole appeal is there's no alien, and there's an alien, and that's why it's scary. So if you explain to me where the alien came from, it's not as scary. This movie doesn't really do that. This movie is not a prequel. It's just a remake of The Thing.
Wow.
That supposedly is set before the events of The Thing, and you know that because at one point the characters are listening to, like, a song that was popular in 1981, and that's how you know that, like, oh, this is right before the other thing. So it's that movie with none of what makes it interesting, none of the good writing, none of the good performances, none of the incredible practical special effects, because it's all just CGI nonsense.
Wow.
The best scene in The Thing involves, in the original, where they're testing the blood. Do you remember this scene?
Yeah.
It's unbelievable, that scene. This movie tries to sort of recreate that, where they check people's fillings, because The Thing can't reproduce, like, earrings, or, like, one guy has a pin in his leg, and it can't reproduce that.
Yeah, well, it couldn't, right?
And I mean, it can't reproduce. Well, no, aliens can't do that.
That's, right, it's, like, logic.
It's true, yeah.
You're smacked in the face with a truth bomb.
So rather than, like, this incredibly tense scene where they're, like, dipping the little thing into the blood and burning it, it's Ramona Flowers, like, walking around looking in people's mouths. And, like, are we going to see fillings or aren't we? That's what it hinges upon. Will there be fillings in there? I see a crown.
Nice bridge work, non-alien. That's insane.
It's a horrible movie.
So I should see it. I can't tell if you're being see it.
So don't, anyway, see it.
Wow. That sounds like a piece of garbage.
Yeah, it's just,
one thing I like about the Thing, and there's so much to like about the
thing. One thing I like about The Thing is everything.
Well, right, and there's so much to love about the original Thing. But one thing I really like is that it's timeless. There's no, like,
songs from 1981.
It's these guys that could be any era. I mean, yeah, the hair, there's some haircuts and some clothes that might be out of place.
Oh, I have to check for fillings.
It might be out of place in Kennebunkport, let's be honest. Is that still a thing?
I think so.
In Chappaquiddick. But you got, some beards and some things that maybe aren't, but it's so, like, it's just a timeless movie.
Yeah.
You could watch that anytime. It's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I mean by timeless. You could watch it anytime.
You could watch it. It could have taken place anytime. You could watch it anytime.
It's timeless in many ways.
It's great. This movie adds nothing.
All it
does is subtract.
Ay, ay, ay.
The other movie I watched was, I just rewatched Lord of Illusions.
Ooh.
Because I was, which is, let's be honest, your title as well.
Thank you, Mr. Bromley.
I'm the Lord of Illusions.
The Illusions. The Lord.
Last week, I think I recommended it for Netflix, this movie.
Yeah, I saw that.
And then I was like, I kind of want to see that again. I just talked myself into it. And I watched it. I still like that movie. It's, you know, Clive Barker only directed 3 movies. He did Hellraiser. I know you're not a huge fan. Nightbreed, which I haven't seen in 20 years, and Lord of Illusions, which is kind of shit upon by a lot of people, but I actually think it's good. I think people should give it another chance. Although, I watched it, and around the same time, I don't remember what the other movies are, but I've watched a few movies recently. I think Tales from the Hood was another one. I've watched a few recently that were, like, made right in the mid-90s when, like, they had the technology to do CGI, but okay. Like, oh, it's not there yet. There's a lot of, like, questionable CGI.
There's a lot of, like, sliding Jabba the Hutt.
Exactly, in Lord of Illusions. Just like, well, it's not quite there, but okay. I like that movie. Scott Bakula's good. And I was actually really relieved because in my head, that movie takes place in the 40s, like, because it's this whole kind of film noir thing, and he's this private detective. And to me, you always associate that with, like, the 40s.
Sure.
And I swore in my Netflix write-up, I wrote, like, oh, man, it's this great, like, period movie. Because then I watch it, it totally takes place today, and I had to run back and see, like, did I say something about the 40s? And luckily I didn't, but...
You were confusing that with Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Oh, that's what it was, which is very scary.
It is. That bunny is scary.
They live in a dream house.
He dips those shoes in acid.
Anyway, see Lord of Illusions. Don't see The Thing.
Definitely see Dreamhouse and see May.
Let's talk about the others.
Let's.
You brought this on yourself,
listen,
buddy.
Listen, my friend.
Yeah.
My BFF, my bestie. Yeah.
Thanks.
We talked about this
Thanks,
last week.
Lord.
We had a... You're welcome.
Yeah, is that you? Or are you an illusion?
We had a feature on the website last week where you asked me, what do you look for in a horror movie?
Yes.
And I said, because I'm like, what a dumb question, right? I'm all like, weird way to like open up this G-chat, if you will, where Patrick basically says, what do you like in a horror movie? And I said, well, I like to be scared, not realizing I'd be raked over the coals by every F-head out there. But I do think that there is something that I respond to, and we talked about this more in that column. I encourage everyone to read it. It's very funny. I'm kidding. It's not funny, but it's interesting, nonetheless. Sure. I respond more to suggestion and subtlety and...
dream houses.
Dreams and houses, be them paper or dream-based. And you don't. You like, and not to beat a dead horse, but you like imagination, and you like creativity, and you like... and I think that applies to all movies. It doesn't just apply to horror movies.
Of course.
But I think The Others... is a good example of what I think works a lot. I don't think The Others is a... It's not one of my favorite horror movies.
Yeah.
But I think... I like it more than you, and I think that... I brought it up because I thought it would be an interesting conversation twixt you and I.
Yeah. Yeah, and this was always, for years, this has been the movie that you've sort of pointed to as like, I like this kind of horror movie, where it's a lot of...
Right.
Suggestion, and you're all like, no, I don't need to see all that gore.
But it's like Devil's
Rejects. Scare me without showing me anything, and then I'll watch.
Scare my mind.
Yeah.
My body.
Scare my pants.
You scare my pants off.
So this was the first time I had seen The Others since we saw it in 2001. I liked it in 2001. I've never felt compelled to revisit it.
Right.
I guess we'll talk for a couple minutes, spoiler-free, about The Others.
Sure.
We're sorry about spoiling Dreamhouse, by the way.
I'm not sorry about spoiling Dreamhouse.
And then we have to get into spoilers because...
Well, yeah.
It's that kind of movie. And I'll, I guess, make the point that I was going to make then.
We'll do spoiler alert.
Exactly. That's what it's going to sound like. Okay, so watching it this time... First of all, it's impossible to watch. Well, God. I don't want to get into spoilers.
Well, you could say it's impossible to watch without, now that you know the secret.
It's a different movie.
It's a different movie.
And I don't know if I like that movie as much.
Okay. So you maybe say it works.
I think it works a little bit better when you're like, I don't totally understand what's going on.
Sure.
Because then once you do, it's like, I don't know if this holds up. I think it's a very well-made movie. I think it's shot incredibly well. I think Nicole Kidman is good as sort of this... manic, it's this sort of female hysteria that's very specific to the period.
Sure.
And I can admire the technique, but the movie doesn't have much for me.
Yeah, all right.
Are we done?
We're good, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we covered
the movie doesn't have much. Let me look at the box here.
Yeah. There
and
it is.
It says
okay.
the movie. Oh, right here, Patrick Bromley.
Yeah.
fthismovie.blogspot.com.
It was in the early days. Watching it this time, did you still find yourself responding to?
Yes.
Like, were you scared by it still?
It's not about being scared by. And this is going to sound so stupid.
Yeah.
It's not about being scared by what I'm seeing. It's about suggestion to me. And I think that, like, I know what's coming. I know that. But I also feel like in almost any scary movie, I pretty much know when the girl goes in the shower in a slasher movie, when this happens, when they go into the woods,
yeah.
that something is going to happen, especially, and of course, all of us on the website, everyone who listens and comments frequently, I'm sure, are all of the same mindset. We've all seen thousands of movies. So we know how to respond to the beats and the cues and the audio stings and things like that. So I know what's going to happen, and I know the twist. But I still think it works. And let me say this. There's always been, again, I'm, again, prone to these sort of, that's how I like to be scared.
Yeah.
And I kind of like, in a weird way, it sounds kind of crazy, but I kind of like that feeling of like, holy shit, this is crazy. Like, yeah. What's going on? I used to live in a two flat in Chicago, and the basement was where the washer and dryer were. And oftentimes, I lived in the top floor. The ground floor, the main floor, was the landlady, and then the basement was the washer and dryer. And oftentimes she would leave to go visit family or whatever. So like, and it was just like, I'm by myself upstairs. She was a widow. She lived by herself. It wasn't a huge place, but it was definitely like old and creepy. And she also told me stories, and this is no joke, where in the basement, when she first moved in back in the 40s or 50s with her husband, that they used to have, like, the ice was delivered down there, and they used to have chickens, and they used to, like, slaughter the chickens in the basement and stuff.
So you think there's chicken ghosts down there?
Chicken ghosts are the scariest fucking ghosts.
You know what I call those?
What?
Poultrygeist.
Nice. She also told me a story, I kid you not, that a person had died in my apartment. Not of crazy circumstances, but, of old age.
Oh.
Where her...
I thought maybe it was, like, a hitman hired by her ex-husband.
I think it might have been a child killer who I'm now disgusted with. In a dream... I lived in a dream house, is my point. You always called it a paper house. Never understood... Until just now. She told me that when she lived there, she was downstairs. Her in-laws lived upstairs. Her father-in-law was very old. He passed away in the back room. It never freaked me out because it wasn't, everyone dies. It's not creepy. It's not like he just one day collapsed and his body floated around. It wasn't like that. But knowing this and knowing the house is just, and again, it's in a very populated, dense area of Chicago, but still there's elements of it that are just as kind of creepy when you're by yourself. And in the winter, I'd have to go outside to go downstairs into the basement. It was like a very short door and you had to go inside like at least 20 feet to turn the light on. And just imagine if, like, the sun sets at 5 o'clock and you have to, like, go in this unfinished concrete basement. Yeah. And I remember I would freak myself out all the time.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, like, I the worst of it was I was down there waiting for something to dry. It was like that. I hated it because I couldn't hear buzzers, so I had to go down there when I think it would be ready. And I was waiting for this closer. I probably needed 5 more minutes. I'm just sitting there waiting. This is before iPhones. I'm just bored. And I'm like, I got in my head somehow, just like most kids do. Like, you think to yourself, oh my God, there's a shark that lives in my closet. That, like, I'm going to hear footsteps above me, knowing that she's gone. I want to hear a footstep start slowly, like, boom, 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 and pick up and get right over my head. And I'm going to shit my pants all over this dryer that I'm sitting on that's warming my balls. And I totally freak myself out. And I'm like, at the time, I'm like a 24-year-old guy, and I'm like, yeah. I have nothing to be afraid of.
I ain't afraid of no ghosts.
I'm like, I'm never gonna die. Anyway, my point in bringing that whole story up is to say that I am, like, that's the kind of shit that freaks me out. And even watching The Others the other night, and I'd seen it maybe not a ton of times, because I saw it when we saw it in the theater in 2001, right before 9/11, by the way, too. Ooh. It came out on August 27th, I think, of 2001.
Whoa.
And it was, we had our innocence back then, if you remember, America.
I kind of remember.
We're going to get it back, though, I think, soon. Okay, good, so good. Don't worry about that. We'll be born again, innocence. And I'd seen it a couple times, but there's always the music I thought was always really good in The Others. I remember one time my sister and mom were watching it. I lent it to my mom. She was watching it. I was doing laundry at her house. These are all laundry-based stories. Just hearing the music and knowing what scene it was, I got kind of freaked out.
Really? Because
it's like the boom, boom, boom. You know, like, there's a scene specifically where there's a room that contains a piano in The Others. And she tells her children she locks the piano and says, do not play this piano. And she closes the door. And the house, of course, if you know The Others, it's very atmospheric. It's on the island of Jersey outside France. And it's fogged in the entire time. Very creepy atmosphere. And she tells her kids, don't play this. So she closes the door. And then the piano plays, and she opens the door, and she hears noises, and whatever it is leaves, and then the door slams, and it just, the sound picks up, and it's a boo, as JB points out in one of his recent columns, that more movies should have boos. I think he means
booze.
Boobs.
Oh, boobs. There are no boobs in the
others. More movies need boobs. Yeah, yeah, there's a lack of boobs.
Yeah, yeah.
Even from the mute housekeeper, I'm like, you're young. You're fertile. You're fecund. Why can't you show me your boobs? Boobs. But there's still elements that scare me. And I remember like being freaked out in my parents' house when my mom was watching it. And likewise, watching it the other night, I had to go downstairs. It got really cold recently in Chicago, and I was going to take a can of propane on our balcony and put it in my garage. So I'm like, oh, shoot, I want to do that before it gets really late. So I paused the movie, and I went out, walked the long hall to my back, and like went downstairs, and every fucking sound was like, but it wasn't like, I wasn't scared. I was like, woo, you know, like, what's that? Like, I can't wait to get back.
And then you got back, and Aunt Zelda was there.
Yeah, well, fuck you.
Oh, dear. Yeah, to me, there's only, like, one moment. Again, having seen the movie, I feel like all the scares are quickly bled out of it, except for that moment that all of the marketing was built around, and it's, like, the one thing that we reference from the other still 12 years later, 11 years later, the moment with the little girl in the veil, like, I am your daughter, you know, right. And Miramax knows how to market a movie, so they built the whole campaign around that, and everybody was like, oh, that's terrifying, I'll go see the others, and then you go see it. It's like, that's the one sort of, for me, that's the one sort of scary thing in the movie. And then again, having seen it, it's like, now it doesn't even totally make sense, but it does, but it doesn't.
Well, no, I think it makes sense. It's logical, I think, what happens.
Yeah,
but
it's not scary anymore.
No, That, like, I actually agree with that, because I still think that the scene with the piano is probably the scariest sequence. I know it's kind of silly, but like, just hearing noises always just freaks me out.
Yeah.
That scene with the piano.
You're crazy.
Well, I hate noises.
Oh, that's
just in general. Any noise I hate. But that scene with the, I am your daughter, is almost kind of cartoonish in a way now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, it's one of those things. It's like, because that moment has been pulled out of the movie. Somebody's like,
right.
It's like watching The Sixth Sense and hear him say, I see dead people. And you're like, oh, right. Because you're so tired
of that. I also think that both those things have, just because they are the thing of the movie, have been like in Scary Movie. I'm sure it was in Scary Movie 5 or something.
I believe it was. Yeah. Except I think it was like Michael Jackson.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's funny.
It was
hilarious. Because now he's a ghost.
The ghost of MJ? Nice. Wow.
Thank you.
Very good. I do kind of want to get into spoilers, because I feel like that's the only way we can talk about this movie. I know a lot of people, I'm sure, really like this movie. I think it does what it wants to do very well. It just comes down to, like, it's not my kind of horror movie, you know?
It's funny, doing some research, just kind of the nuts and bolts and dollars and cents of the movie. It's successful. Like, I want to say on Rotten Tomatoes, it's got, you know, across the board, well-received good
reviews. Yeah, it was like in the 80s,
I think. 87%, I think. Metacritic also had it like up in the 70s. So obviously, people like it, people respond to it. It's gotten good reviews. I think, again, they're maybe responding not to the scary stuff, but maybe the well-made, as mentioned earlier, that it's a well-made movie. It's very sound.
Yeah.
It's very atmospheric, and it does, like, the director...
It's atmosphere all over the place.
Alejandro...
Amenábar.
I was told by my mother-in-law, because the accent sounded...
How do you say it?
Amenábar? I don't know. I forgot it.
The big deal was at the time, because this was 2001, Tom Cruise had just made Vanilla Sky.
Oh, yeah, because that's... right.
And his movie, Abre los Ojos, was what Vanilla Sky was based on. So here's Tom Cruise making the American remake of his movie, and here's Tom Cruise's then-wife, or recently divorced, Nicole Kidman, I don't remember when they split up, making a movie with the director of Open Your Eyes, whatever.
Yeah, and it's, I remember thinking...
Super interesting.
I've always heard, too, it's Alejandro Amenábar.
Yeah, right.
But I looked at the thing. I looked on IMDb, and it says the A's over this, and I'm like, I'm horrible at languages, but I asked my mother-in-law, it's from Honduras, and I said, what is this? And she said it for me, and I'm like, I'll never...
Can we call her up?
I said, I'll never forget this. And then promptly, it's like, Amenábar. It's an incredibly well-made movie, to your point. If I have one critique of the movie, before we get to spoilers, I feel like it's a Twilight Zone episode.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. It's like, it's a very...
It's a good short story. It should be a half hour long.
That's the movie. I think that it works for me because, I like the atmosphere. I like the stuff. I like all the beats and all the moments and stuff. I do feel like there's a middle third where... her husband comes back.
Oh.
That's kind of hard to watch. Not because it's awkward or weird, but just like it seems shoehorned in. It seems like this doesn't really need to be here. So there's a third where her husband comes back. he's, it's this, by the way, this takes place after World War II. It's like 1945 or 46 or something. And her husband, who is on the front in France, comes back. He's obviously a changed man. They have sex, and then he leaves.
Right.
And it's a very weird, like, it just seems to be like, why is this, why are you even here?
Yeah.
Aside from, like, kind of just a new plot point is what it feels like.
Right.
So my point is, if any, I have a critique, it does feel like a short story, a Twilight Zone episode, episode of The Outer Limits, if you will.
the newer version, though, right? Well,
of course,
the,
yeah. I'll be dead in the cold, cold ground before I recognize the older version.
All right, so let's get into spoilers for the others. If you haven't seen it, see it. You know, it's worth seeing, but I don't love it.
This is going well.
All right, spoilers for the others coming up. So here's the deal. They're the ghosts. That's the
We're
big...
them. They're us.
That's the big twist. Right. You spend the whole movie thinking that they are living in a haunted house. It turns out they are the haunters.
And is that E-U-R-S? Like
I think so, yeah. And then the other people are the haunties.
The haunty, like they're teases.
Yeah, and I forgot that it was like that Nicole Kidman murdered her children and then killed
too.
Herself. Because, obviously it makes it harder to be sympathetic towards her. But again, that's part of what the movie is about. It's this very specific, I mean, yellow wallpaper sort of like female panic. Kind of a thing. And so it does that well. It should have been a fucking half hour long. So watching it a second time through, when you're like, it's not scary. There's an explanation for everything. They're the ghosts. And to me now it becomes, it stops being a horror movie and it just becomes this very sad story about like,
yeah,
these people who can't move on or whatever. And
I kind of like that too, though.
I agree. No, I think it still works as that kind of movie. I think it's still way too long and blah 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 blah. But it wasn't a horror movie this time. You know what I mean?
Sure.
It was like the ghosts are sort of this weird metaphor.
So it's almost like a Dreamhouse switcho change.
Kind of.
Where it's a
like,
ghost
she
story.
She found
first.
A book in the stair, and then she's like, "I can't publish this. I'm a fucking ghost."
But the guy's like, "I can because I'm alive. Bye, ghost wife."
Yeah. What are we to make of the husband? In the reality of the film, like the husband coming back. What?
In Dreamhouse?
No.
Can we talk about Dreamhouse
Eccleston,
some more?
When Eccleston shows up, are we to believe he died in the war? And
yeah, well,
okay.
How else would he be there?
Right, well, that's what I'm saying.
He's a ghost,
but then,
too.
And he leaves because he gets to move on now?
Well, no, I think...
Was his unfinished business fucking Nicole Kidman?
Well, that's you've got to lay some ghost seed if you catch my drift. And by seed, I mean sperm. I think
ghost
that he,
sperm.
It's pretty obvious that he is a ghost also.
I'm the ghost sperm right now.
Let me find the egg! Am I in the oven? I think it's fairly obvious that he died on the front.
I was going to sing, like, round, round, get around.
little Bruce Willis ghost action. That's, by the way, that's not Bruce Willis in Ghost. It's Bruce Willis in Look Who's Talking, but he's a ghost, and it's round. All right, never mind. It's fairly obvious he's a ghost. He died in World War II on the front.
Yeah,
I'm not sure why he comes back, because...
Yeah, and I forgot that whole section. I was like, in my head, this whole movie was her and the two kids.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, the husband shows up. What is this?
Well, it's also like,
I forgot about the staff, too. Like, they know that they're ghosts the whole time. And so, again, you're watching it through a second time, and you're just trying to figure out, like, is this playing fair? Isn't it? And, like...
See, I don't...
It's just the maid, like, continually trying to hint at, like, yeah, we're all ghosts. And Nicole Kidman not picking
up
on it.
I'm dead tired. Oh, you're white as a sheet. A ghost sheet. You're porcelain skin. Yeah.
She keeps trying to serve her Ecto cooler.
I don't know how the physics world of ghosts work, obviously.
I don't either.
I'm not a ghost hunter. I'm not a ghost buster. I don't have ghost in my job title whatsoever, despite my repeated requests to my boss. Like, can you please maybe ghost director of operations? Ghost communications director? So obviously not knowing how the ghost world works, I do find it kind of weird that, like, he dies in France. He somehow transports to the island of Jersey, which is a few... miles off the coast, a few dozen miles, and then goes back. But I think that
Kilometer.
It's fine. I will suspend my disbelief and say he has to like do like a final kind of thing with her, and then he has to return to where he was killed. Like that's his final resting place.
Okay.
Kind of like when Daniel Craig had to say goodbye to Rachel Weisz. Like that loose end is tied up and that's the end of that. So he has to go back. It does seem kind of odd, aside from like like kind of instilling Nicole Kidman with this new zest for life that she gets because my husband back, the everything is going to be right in the world despite the fact that the fog won't lift and like everything is still very odd.
Everyone's allergic to sunlight.
Right. Which is a real thing, but still, I like all those beats though.
Yeah.
But here's the thing that, you know, I remember when I first read or saw Our Town, the play.
Yeah.
You know that play, I'm sure.
Oh, that play, Our Town?
I think I saw it actually, it was when Fred Savage worked the spotlight in Wonder Years. You know what I'm talking about?
I do.
There's an episode of Wonder Years where the school is doing Our Town.
Of course.
I don't have to say like Our Town or Our Town.
Our Town.
Our Town.
Our Town.
Our Town. Where the school is doing Our Town and Fred Savage is like working the lights and has a crush on the girl, I think.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Anyway, but I remember when I first saw it or read it, I was really sad by it because it's obviously no spoilers for Our Town. But it's about death, and it's about where you go when you die, and it's this small town, and obviously people die, and it's this cycle of life, and people pass away, and they move to the cemetery, and they sit on their chairs, and they just sit there, and it's really kind of fucked up and depressing.
Yeah.
When I saw it when I was really young, I hated it. I was like, this is just the worst. I don't know why this is a popular thing. I don't get why they're so... If I was a ghost, it would be awesome. I would look at so many girls in so many showers, is what I told myself at 14 and at 34. But my point is, I think there's an element of a kernel of that in this, where it's like, this is it. Like, I mean, it might be purgatory. It might be whatever you want to call it. I don't really prescribe much religious nonsense to this, but there's a lot of Catholic undertones in it.
Well, that's the thing. The movie definitely brings that up, that Nicole Kidman seems to be pretty steadfast and is trying to raise her children that way and is explaining to them if you deny Christ, you go to children's limbo or whatever, or purgatory or whatever. And watching that scene, I was like, well, what are we to make of this? Is the movie, because it does have these religious undertones, and yet it seems to come out sort of on the side of, like, not atheism, because it's suggesting that there is life after death.
Right.
But it's also saying that regardless of what kind of life you live, you're stuck here forever. Like, you don't move on to heaven. You don't. Sure. You know what I mean? These kids who were innocents.
Well, could you also
say, were killed, who shouldn't really have to go to purgatory, according to the logic of the movie.
But the logic of the movie says, because she killed them, so she's obviously in purgatory,
right,
or whatever. And because there's a scene where they don't, where the little girl says, like, I would just deny Christ. Like, there's a whole scene, like, and she said, well, why, you know, when you deny Christ, blah, blah, blah. So maybe the kids aren't there yet. I don't know. And again, we're trying to, like, figure out a very small little subplot of the movie, but... You know, there is an element that it could be kind of confusing depending on your religion. And you and I, neither one of us are religious or have the background to kind of whatever. But I don't know. It did seem kind of odd to me. Odd.
So, I mean, I want to talk about it more as a horror movie again, even though seeing it through a second time, it kind of ceases to be a horror movie. And that's why I couldn't necessarily be... scared by any of that. And part of it too is that I unlike you, am not necessarily, I don't want to say scared by ghosts, because I don't think you're scared by ghosts.
No, I just like a good
boo. You're scared by like noises and
things
that are unexplained.
Here's a reaction that I have to stuff. When I saw Seven for the first time, and there's a scene in Seven
where everybody's scared by that,
where the body pops up or makes a noise.
Yeah, I think we saw that together. Where we both shouted and then started laughing.
Oh my god! It was like, because you're so like, ah! And you go ah, and you're laughing hysterically because. Yeah. But I love that, and I will still like be on the edge of my seat when I see Seven again.
I actually don't like that. It works in Seven. I don't like boo moments. I know JB said every movie should have boo moments. I tend to not like them.
He's the movie guy, so... No,
I tend to not like them. I don't know if that plays into my hatred of haunted houses or not.
Well, that's a whole different subject, because I don't like haunted houses either.
Yeah.
I don't like...
But weird that we both are such big fans of horror
movies.
Here's
the thing. I love... Houses. October's the best.
Yeah.
Fall is the best. Scary movies are the best.
Yeah.
I don't want to dress up for Halloween.
Yeah.
I don't want to put on a costume. I don't want to go into a haunted house.
Right.
I've been in a few.
I love to see people in costume. I love it.
I like to see certain ladies in sexy nurse
costume. I really do. I love to see people in costume. I don't want to wear a costume.
You love to see Heidi Klum doing her, like, crazy Halloween. Like, she goes so over the top. It's great. I remember one time I was at a sleepover, and it was in October. We all went to the fun of the sleepover was, like, we're in a haunted house.
Yeah.
And I made an excuse to stay with the younger brother of my friend whose birthday it was, so I didn't have to go. And I said, no, Mom, who is also here, I'll hang out with him, because there's no fucking way I'm going to sell.
I hate haunted houses. The last one I went to was a couple years ago, I think at Universal Studios. And
might be different, though, because it's like movie theme, maybe? Or
no, this it was maybe like mummy themed, because the mummy had come out.
Mummies.
And my big move was there was a group of like Asian tourists, and I just let them go right in front of me, so everything that jumped out at them.
They squirted so much pee-pee.
When I was a kid, right in my coke. When I was a kid, there was a haunted house in the basement of our local library, and my brother and his friends went, and they took me, but I didn't want to go because I was scared. So they went through once and found out where all the scares were, and then my brother said, okay, you know, you can come through, and I'll come through with you, and I'll help you. And I said, okay. And so at the end of the haunted house, there's a coffin and a Dracula pops out. Just a Dracula.
Right.
And
one of many.
My brother's friend thought it would be funny to sit on the lid of the coffin so the guy couldn't pop out.
Oh, my God.
And they got thrown out. But
flip the script. Was that the nicest thing your brother's ever done for you, by the way? That's like a pretty awesome movie.
Yeah, no, that was nice. That was nice. That was definitely nice. He took me to see Monster Squad, too. Come on.
What, the second Monster Squad?
What was I talking about? The others. Oh, Dream House. So I'm not into, like, the boo moments. I'm not really into, like, the noises or the creepy suggestion or whatever. I don't know necessarily what I do find scary. I mean, definitely, like, that claustrophobic scene in The Descent, like, terrifies me. But my point is that even if that stuff did sort of work on me, seeing it the first time through, because the whole point is you're wondering what is causing this. You know what I mean? Like, that's what's scary, is not knowing what the answer is. Right. But as soon as you know the answer, again, it goes back to this whole stupid prequel idea where now I know where this is from and it ceases to be scary to me.
Well, some of the critiques I've read too about the movie, that it's a little puffed up. It's very deliberately paced in how it's like laborious and kind of very slow and plodding. And I don't mind it. I don't like it, but I don't mind it. And a lot of people don't like it.
And I don't necessarily like it, but I would not call that a flaw.
Okay.
Because I think
that's
what the movie wants to do.
But I'll compare it to something else without spoiling The Sixth Sense.
Yes.
That movie, has a twist ending.
Yeah.
I'll just say that.
Yeah.
If anyone doesn't know that in the Crying Game, it's a dude. Like,
dude, easy.
I know, with the Crying Game.
Stop with the spoilers. First, Dream House.
Sixth Sense obviously has a similar twist, or just a twist. Delete that similar part. And I know you're not a huge fan of that movie. Not to say you're a fan.
Yeah.
But do you feel the need to watch it? Do you feel the need to?
Not that often, but probably more often
than
the
others.
So what
about that movie works better than this movie?
I think that movie functions as a character study.
Okay.
And it's about sort of a similar thing, about the inability of certain characters to move on.
Sure.
It's a little bit more literal in terms of, like, I have unfinished business. I have to tell my wife I love her or something, just like in the movie Ghost.
Scary movie.
Oddly enough, not about a ghost. Ghost Dog, by the way? Everyone is alive in Ghost Dog.
What about Ghost Dog? Dad.
Oh, Ghost Dad. He's halfway through the wall.
That's all I know about that movie,
too. Yeah, right.
The VHS cover box.
I can watch Sixth Sense because, to me, the characters are more interesting, and so I can watch it on that level, because in the others, I don't really find the characters all that...
Yeah. No, I get that.
...interesting, and the Nicole Kidman character is hard to watch. I mean, again, by design.
Yeah.
It's a specific type of character that they're trying to create. She performs it very well, but it's the kind of thing that, like, makes you nervous to watch.
Right.
You know?
It's funny you say that, because you're absolutely right in that in The Sixth Sense, and I haven't seen that movie in, God, I guess I don't really have a desire to watch that. Although I do want to see Unbreakable again, though. I feel like I haven't seen that in a long time.
And
It might.
It's great. Ends with the best text crawl ever.
What happens?
It ends like an episode of Cops. Like, it's a pretty good movie, and then it wraps up in 2 minutes.
Oh, no.
With, like, and then this happened, and this guy went to jail. And you're just like, what? And then it's like Bruce Willis walks past a bookstore, and there's copies of his book, and it's called Unbreakable. And you're like, what?
Let's just say I caught him red-handed, and it wasn't exactly. Pretty.
His book in Unbreakable is called Dreamhouse.
Weird.
I did not see that.
That's
the twist.
It makes watching Dreamhouse a little more understandable now.
Shyamalan is famous for his twists.
That's right. But you're right, because by design, it's very much all the characters are the way they are. It's supposed to be this kind of shrill, frantic, whatever... characters, and but I keep going back to, and maybe I guess it's a flaw, but like the whole thing just feels like it could be a lot shorter and stuff, but I kind of like all the, I don't know.
Yeah, I watching it, I really was like, this is a great short story. It's not a great feature length thing, and if the movie's intent is, I mean, I do think it wants to sort of be this commentary on loss.
Okay.
You know, you just don't realize that, like, it's the loss of yourself, basically, that, like, you can't move on.
I don't like how Donnie Wahlberg appears in this one.
I kind of do like it. I think it works as, like,
hanging tough.
A mood piece.
Okay.
If, you know, the way that, like, you'll put on certain songs when you want to feel a certain way. Sure. Like, I get that, like, this movie creates a very specific mood, and it does that very well. The photography and the music and... the pacing and the performances, everything about it creates a very specific mood, and I can appreciate that. It's just not ever a mood that I find myself wanting to be in. It's not like, oh, I want to feel the way The Others makes me feel.
Okay.
Ever.
Ever.
So it's one of these movies where it's just like, yeah, I can appreciate that. I recognize that it's well done. It offers nothing for me.
Do you, and this might be, we talked about
except
this
before. Except Nicole Kidman.
We talked about this before.
And I'll watch Eyes Wide Shut for that.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, top three Nicole Kidman nude scenes. Go.
Eyes Wide Shut.
Number one.
Oddly enough, I'm going to say Dead Calm, number two.
Interesting. Her hair is crazy.
I understand that, but it's not important. I don't want to get too elaborate into the Dead Calm nude scene, but it's pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, I know I should say Billy Bathgate, right?
Well, because she shows it's full frontal. I mean, it's a gimme.
I don't know what the
I'm going to say. This is going to be... I'm going to take out Dead Calm.
We're totally derailed.
And talk about Birthday Girl. She barely gets naked.
Yeah.
In fact, there might not... It's mostly butt. Maybe some side boobage. But she is so, like, foxy in that movie,
I think. Yeah, I like that movie.
Anyway.
I like that movie more than I like The Others.
Nicole Kidman's a cat, though.
Yeah.
A giant pussy cat.
Meow. Meow. I'm a ghost.
As Monet Mazur would say, she's a giant pussy cat. It's a deep cut for 40 days and 40 nights.
What were you just about to say, though, about the others?
Fucking know. I have no idea what I was going to say.
I said, I don't want to feel that way ever.
Do want to feel that way sometimes.
And you were about to say
it,
yeah.
We've talked about it's kind of been talked about, but I'll rephrase it differently. Is there ever a movie that you, a horror movie that you like, and I know that being scared is not a prerequisite to watching horror movies, but that you kind of like the scares of certain movies?
I'm sure.
I know that's kind of a weird, out of left field question. You probably don't know.
I mean,
the answer to right now.
In a weird way, the closest is Pet Sematary. Like,
okay,
I hate how scary I find Pet Sematary, but every once in a while, I'll put it on, like, as a weird test to myself, and I hate it, but, like,
yeah,
that's the only thing I can think of that really scares me that I still would put on.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know. And I feel like The Others has become, like, this weird, like, that it's the symbol for where we split on what we like in certain movies.
Sure.
Which is overselling both your affection for
absolutely.
It and my disdain, which isn't even necessarily true, but it's, like, it's the movie that represents, like, well, Doug likes this kind of horror movie,
right.
And I don't. And maybe it's just honestly because for years, like, it is a movie that you kind of referred to when we're talking about, like, what do you like? And you're like, I like a movie like The Others.
Yeah.
Which isn't even to say you love The Others, but it's just like, I like a movie where it's noises and pale British children and that kind of a thing.
I remember actually kind of being shocked because we saw it in the theater at the same time when it opened.
Yes.
And I remember watching the movie and being affected by it.
Yeah.
Like, obviously responding to all the cues and stuff. And when it ended, I remember turning and I was like, "Ooh, that was good." And you were kind of like, meh.
I was all yawning.
Right.
I would start at the pantomime of yawn. You guys couldn't see it. I feel like we let people down who wanted to really hear our thoughts on the others. We really gave something to people who wanted to hear our thoughts about Nicole Kidman nude scenes.
That's right. So. But here's the thing about the others. We
might have talked more about Dream House than
that's
the
fine, because Dream House needs a whole other podcast. I think that the others, though, it's not a controversial film.
No.
A lot of people like it. Yeah. Some people probably aren't crazy about it.
Yeah.
It made a lot of money. It's you know, done well.
Right.
It won all these Goyas, which is the Spanish... the Spanish, like, Academy Awards,
wow.
Which I saw that, and I'm like, really? Goya? Goya.
winner of...
8 Goyas.
Not 8.
Ocho.
Ocho Goya!
So I don't think it's... I think in that respect, it's like, yeah, we're going to talk more about, like, my response to it and your response and watching it again. I do think, though, just to get back to the Pet Sematary one last time, the reason why you're scared by it, and again, I'm not in your head right now. I will be tonight with my incredible shrinking machine. That there might be a nostalgia, and we talk about nostalgia a lot in the show.
Sure.
It might be a nostalgia aspect where that was like the scariest thing you'd ever seen at a certain point in your life.
And still continues to be.
Right.
I do, this is the last thing I'll say about the others, I get a little pissed off when people point to movies that don't feature, like, monsters or special effects or blood or gore or any of those things that we maybe typically associate with horror movies. And they point to those and it's like, see, you don't need all that stuff to be scary. It's just this bullshit attitude of just like,
well, that's half of horror fans though. It's all like, they're for the same people that are like goth and only want the gore. It's like these same idiots that like don't want any of it.
It's just,
like,
it's so dismissive of like every other kind of horror movie, I think. No, you don't need those things necessarily, but just because a movie has those things.
Sure.
Doesn't make it bad. It's just that puts a lot of people off, and that's fine. A lot of people, you know, if you ask, you know, is there one kind of movie you don't like? A lot of people say horror movies because they don't like that stuff, and that's fine.
It's my
but
wife
like,
is one of those, and I'm trying to turn her out.
What does she think of the others? Because she watched it.
That
with
was
you.
One of the ones that had always scared her before, and she is. If I respond to this stuff, good gravy, she is like the most responsive. She hates ghosts and suggestion. Yeah. She hates murderers and things. She can take like the crazy. Jason and Freddy and stuff like that, because it's like totally
because that's not real.
It's fantastical.
The others is real,
but she is very prone to suggestion, which is how I got in her pants. The second time
is she a fan though of the others?
It's hard to say if she's a fan of any horror movie, but I think that she enjoyed the viewing.
Okay,
you know, but
all right.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for listening, everybody. Keep posting in the Scary Movie Challenge, and make sure you listen to our next podcast. It's our next podcast. It's going to be The Massacre. We're going to 24 hours of horror movies.
Holy moly, my first time.
Yeah.
Cannot wait. Because I am your podcast.